Well, I'd appreciate your prayers tonight. Definitely feeling a need for the Lord. I have a thought, and it's a little abstract in my own mind about how to bring it out. But I know the Lord can help us, so we want you to pray for us. In the book of Mark, 7th chapter, there's a phrase I want to pick out. It's the 7th verse of the 7th chapter. It says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me." Jesus was quoting Isaiah the prophet. And that phrase kind of stuck with me. "Howbeit in vain they worship me." And I thought, is that possible? I mean, is it possible for us?
Yes.
These people were guilty. They were religious. They went through the forms and went through all of the fanfare of worship. But the Lord, looking on it, said they did it in vain. It neither glorified God or benefited them. It was vain. It was empty. It didn't do anything. So I'd like to look at it a little bit with this idea. I believe that what we do in service of the Lord needs to be motivated by the Lord. I really don't believe, I believe I could prove it by the scriptures, but it is my experimental knowledge of living for the Lord. I've come to the place that the scripture that says, without me you can do nothing. It's over in St. John 15, I think. And he says, without me you can do nothing. I believe I understand that more today than I ever have understood it before. Without me, you can do nothing. I don't believe I have the capacity or the ability to change myself. Now, I would have probably argued with it to some point about that at some time, but I've come to this understanding. I don't think that I've got the ability to change who I am. I don't even think I have the ability to want to change who I am, unless the Lord helps me. Unless I can get the understanding from the Lord. And I need to be motivated. So I'll tell this little story. You've probably heard it, many of you. But years ago, I was driving a spike nail into some oak 2x's. I think it was 2x8s. I was putting them together, and I was driving a big spike in there, and I had a big shop hammer, and I had them hooked together with my hands like this, and I went to driving that in, and I missed where it slid off of the nail, but it come off, and I hit myself right on the finger right there. And folks, it hurt. It split my finger right in the middle, just right through there to split it open. And it hurt. And I was at a certain place in my life of feeling good about myself, come to the place that I was trusting the Lord. And I was doing it in vain. Because I thought I was doing something. And I needed a lesson.
Yes.
It's good to trust the Lord.
Yes.
But not like that. I needed to understand something. The Lord let me understand something. In a few seconds, I was about to lose it. I don't believe if that would have lasted 5 seconds that I'd have been conscious. Now, I know it's just my faith. There's a lot of nerve endings in there. Folks, if they say pain from 1 to 10, I'm going to tell you, this topped it out. I could not stand the pain of that and began instantly begging the Lord to help me. And the answer I got was, if I don't help you, you can't take it. And instantly the Lord touched my finger and it was manageable until it was okay. But I learned a lesson. Without Him, I can do nothing. I can make all the claims that I want to make. I can do whatever I want to do. But I can't do what he doesn't allow me to do. I need to be motivated by the Lord. Another story I tell quite often, but there was a time when my little boy, about 7 years old, was really sick, and he says to me, "Daddy, pray for me." And he was one that he wanted prayer a lot when he was sick, and he said, "Daddy, pray for me." So I prayed for him because that's what we do. And that was right to do. I prayed for him. I prayed for him like a father prays for his son. I cared for my boy. It hurt me that he was hurting, and I prayed. And a little bit, he said, "Daddy, pray for me." I mean, just moments. It wasn't long. "Daddy, pray for me. He's feeling bad." And I prayed for him again. And I still remember I walked into the kitchen, and when I got into the kitchen, so plainly, a voice came to me and said, "Go pray for your son again." Now, I prayed the third time different than I prayed the first two times. I prayed with compassion and duty and love and faith. But I didn't pray like I prayed the third time. The Lord told me, motivated me, moved me, told me, "Go pray for your son again." That time, the prayer was different and the results was different. Instantaneously, my boy smiled. Instantaneously, the fever left. Instantaneously, God done something. And he motivated for it. Without me, he said, "You can do nothing." Folks, we need to be motivated by the Lord. Now, I think it goes much deeper than this, because I think as people, we look at problems. It's very common for us to do this as humans. We look at the problems and the situations, and we usually look at the what we call the symptoms. We look at the symptoms. I got an old truck, and the light comes on the dash. Well, a guy told me the best way to do that is put a piece of tape over it. The light comes on, put the tape on. There's a symptom. The light comes on. You want that light in your eye? Turn it, put it on, and you fixed it. You fixed it. It's done. And we can look at things like that and say, let's deal with it. Here's something we don't want, so let's not get it. I mean, it's not like that. Folks, it's not like that. Do you know that you can't assume a congregation of people is any more spiritual than the people themselves? You can't assume that we can bring anything into a gathering like this and we'll get more than the people that come here. It's not that way. You can't assume that there's going to be something more than we are as an individual coming. We so often will deal with the symptoms of things like that. Perfect example. We all probably can recognize some of this. I'm a preacher, so I get to rant on some of these things sometimes. You have Wednesday service, prayer meeting service, testimony service. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have those services. It's nice that. And this is my message tonight. Because we need to be motivated. Okay, we need to be motivated. So we look at it sometimes as a leader or somebody what's coming. You want to see life. I want to see life. We want to see it here. We want to see life. We want to see motion. We want to see life. And so when you don't see it, the tendency is to say, that's a symptom. We need to take care of that. So it's mandatory now as a member of the Church of God, you got to testify at least twice a month at Wednesday services. Now, we don't do that, but I'm giving you an example of what people do with things like that. Or maybe, you know, the old grocery store there, my hometown growing up, they used to have AMP there, and they had the AMP stamps, and you went in and if you bought so much, you got stamps to put in there on the book. Anybody ever remember the old book? And you put that in there, and it was an incentive. It was motivation. It was motivation to come and do that. We could get a book, and when you come and testify, we could give you a stamp, and maybe at the end of the year, you'd get, you know, a Church of God sweatshirt or something. I mean, you can try to motivate people with all kind of gimmicks and things, but don't. I want us to realize something, folks. It's only a symptom. It's only a symptom. You can take care of the symptoms, but you end up with the Lord saying, "In vain did they worship me." It doesn't get to the reason for it. And so I'm going to testify about myself sometimes. Go to Wednesday night service, and I'm sitting in Wednesday night service saying, "What can I testify about? Anybody ever been there? Maybe you don't want to confess it, but anybody ever said, well, I want to testify of the Lord. What do I have to testify about? What do I have to testify about? And Evan thought about the Lord all week. Come on. I mean, that's dealing. I can deal with the symptoms of it and say, well, everybody needs to testify. We'll go do something to testify. But that's not where it's at. Look, that's not where it's at. There's something way, way back of that. Because, see, in the scriptures, Brother Carl, I'm going to mention him a bit, but Brother Carl's obviously got a burden because he sees a symptom that is not the praise that I agree with you, Brother Carl. Listen, it's a good message. I agree. But the answer isn't a strong arm in anybody. Strong arming ain't going to get it. But making a new regulation isn't going to get it. Even me getting up here and stomping and snorting and blowing and trying to make you do it, it's not going to do it. There's something that's going to make it flow easy and right. Right? There's something that's going to make it. In the scriptures, there's things like this. There was a man that was lame from the beginning, from his birth. He was lame. And the Lord comes about and heals him, and it said that he got up out of there jumping and shouting and praising the Lord, and I would too. If that happened to me, I'd run all over this place. If I had been down just a little while and the Lord didn't have me up and jumping around, it motivated. It was the Lord did something in that. Folks, if we don't live with the Lord and don't seek the motivation and don't, and it's not there, Lord, help me to see what you're doing with me. Give me these things. If I go through the week and the Lord's done all these things and I don't even recognize it, He didn't speak to me in Scripture. He didn't answer our prayer particularly. I haven't been doing anything with the Lord. I don't got anything. And Wednesday night, I come up with something. Or you don't come up with something. And out of the whole congregation, two or three people testify, a slow testimony, and that. But that's not what we really want. But we see the symptoms. But what's the answer to the problem? There's something deeper than that. If you start looking around and say, I think there's a slipping, I think there's a lack, and here's what it is. It's deeper than that. The Lord is dynamic. I found the Lord is dynamic and it's real and He can do something in life. And in the scriptures, the people that responded, they responded to something. And didn't Jesus actually say to His disciples, who loves me most? Who loves me most? Him who's forgiven a little or forgiven a lot? And they said, well, I suppose they that were forgiven a lot. And He said, right. Now consider that. Right, that motivates you. That's the motivation. But I don't think it's actually necessarily about that I've committed more than you have and forgiven them more, but that I recognize it. That I recognize what the Lord's done for me. This is what He's done for me. Folks, we need the inspiration and the motivation from the Lord in our life. Then there's something real about it. There's something real about it. We desire that our ministry, that the ministry be inspired. Yeah. Well, I'll challenge you. We desire that who's speaking to that be inspired. We desire that there's an inspiration, a prayer behind it. We desire that the singing is inspired and that the praying's inspired and that the Lord's motivating and inspiring us. And I'm thinking about David, when you remember when David come a situation, I think the Philistines had come in. David was away and the Philistines came in, and I know Abigail was mentioned, and so they took the wives and all the stuff and they ran off. And when David come back with his men, they come back there, all the stuff was gone, and then they started turning their heart against David, and David's in a real place because they said, he's a leader, look what happened, and they're threatening on stoning David. And David didn't know what to do. David didn't know how to do it or what to do. But the scripture said that he encouraged himself in the Lord is God. He went and he said, I don't think he was encouraged. It's actually, that scripture actually expresses that he was discouraged. He was downhearted because they were going to stone him to death. And what do I do? Where do I turn to? Hey, David, you want another testimony? How about you want the fodder for another good psalm? The Lord just put you in a place. You're about to get another good message, brother, right here on this one. And he went and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I don't know what he said. I think I'd have known what I'd have done at those kind of times. I would have said stuff like, well, you delivered the giant. you brought the lion and the bear to me. I mean, you've done all these things. The Lord, you can do this too. Amen. You know what the Lord did? The Lord spoke to David. David didn't know what to do, but when the Lord said, David, go get your stuff back, I'll be with you. Yeah. Go and I'll give it back to you. And then he goes and these people are upset and going to stone him and oh, put your stone down. The Lord just told, come on, let's go. Get the stuff in. He was motivated by the Word of God. He was motivated to do something, accomplish something. Wonder what Wednesday night service was like. I wonder what it would have been like then when they come in and them all saying, and the women testifying and saying, oh, give me the liberty, I'm sorry, but the women saying, oh, they took us and we thought we was going to be slaves and the Lord delivered us, David's come and got us back and the Lord delivered us and now they run and it was a testimony. They had something. My fear is that incrementally, I've been around a while. And incrementally as things go and go, there'll be a place that the Lord would say, howbeit in vain they did serve me. Still have a camp meeting in Guthrie. Still go to Monarch. They still put the show on. They still do the things. But none of it's real. None of it's seeking my motivation. None of it's heartfelt. None of it's what's really supposed to be there. Lord, help us, because this is our day. This is our time. Yes. This is our place to stay faithful. This is it. I'm not going to tell you, I don't believe I can do anything without Him. I don't believe it. I can live over and over and I had no failures and saw the things in it and I found out that when I think I can do something, I fail at it. I can't do it. And I'm saying, Lord, if you don't help me in my mind, I'm not going to be able to do it. And the Lord comes in these kind of ways sometimes. Lord, help us. Because sometimes it isn't that pretty. But to the faithful, it's right. Yes. You remember the scripture? In Jeremiah. We like it because it says, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Oh, thoughts of peace. Oh, I love you. It's just peace and goodwill and to give you an expected end. Well, if you go up a couple of verses, there's a setting to this. He said you're going to be carried away captive. You're going to be slaves to a nation that's not your own. You're going to do things that you didn't think you'd ever have to do. And you're going to be down there. And when he does all these things, think of this. He's saying, I'm going to let your enemy abuse you. Because here's why. Here's why. You couldn't be faithful. And I love you and I want to make it right for you. And all that I could do, you worship these other gods anyway. And I couldn't arrest you. I couldn't get, but now I'm going to. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a testimony. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to do something with you that you can't do for yourself. I don't think there was a leader that God was going to raise up that could change their mind from the pulpit. Preachers don't have that responsibility of changing people. You're just preaching what the Lord wants us to get. And there was no leader that could do it, none could. But God said, I got a message that I'm going to preach to you, and here's the message. You're going into captivity for 70 years. But don't be disheartened. Because I know my thoughts towards you. I am not trying to destroy you by this. I'm trying to make you. I'm trying to make you something that you can't make yourself. I know of the major changes and things that's happened in my life that the Lord has done. I couldn't do it for myself. God owns the universe And he brings situations into our lives that can change us. And we need to be motivated by the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be motivated for these things. When they look and say, well, I think testimonies is loud. I'd sure like to see a more fervency among us. Stop with the rules and the stuff. That. Let's get with the Lord. Lord, give me the testimony. Give me that life. Give me the inspiration to understand your word. Give me the inspiration of what you've done in this. What I can't see and do for myself. Give me the inspiration for that. Yes. Because it's by his inspiration. In the book of Samuel. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm one of Judges 16. First. In the book of Judges. There's a character here in the scriptures who, I'll go through it. He was one of the judges of Israel. His name was Samson. Samson had a very unique gift from the Lord. The Lord was, and you can read it. I'm just going to go through it a little bit, but I want to say this about Samson. Samson was not a superhuman. He was a regular human. He was not superhuman. He's just a regular guy. Because he couldn't do anything unless the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Now if you read that, the acts that he done said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then he took the city gate off its hinges. It's very wrong. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and he took the jawbone of the donkey and slew. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and he was motivated. Motivated being that force that makes us to move. It's what moves us. Makes us to step into there. He was motivated by the Spirit of the Lord to perform these acts. And he did these acts. And it wasn't by his own strength or duty or ability. He didn't come up with this or nothing. But the Lord had this gift on him that he gave to him. And there was a consecration on his part there about his hair not being cut. And I don't think he could drink wine and different things. But there was a number of things on him that he had to fulfill. But he couldn't do any of these things by himself. He wasn't superhuman. But the Spirit of the Lord would come on to him and motivate him into these actions that the Lord wanted him to perform. And he was a mighty man who could conquer the great Samson. But those that wanted to, and we understand the story here, and he is way out of line with some of this stuff, but his gift worked for him and the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. And then there's Delilah. And we know the story of Delilah. And he loved Delilah. And so she was toying. He was toying with her. And the game went on. And he kept playing with her. And don't you see it so plain? Samson dallied with the important thing of his life. He played with the most important thing. What God wanted him to be, he played with it. He didn't covet it and say, never would you get this. This is my relationship with God. It's my motivation. My motivation is important. I can do nothing. He should have said to Delilah, without him, I can do nothing. I can't do anything without him. This is too important. I will not let it go. Quit your toying. Quit your playing. And oh, you don't love me. If you loved me, I think every guy's heard that at one point or another, but you don't love me. If you loved me, you would. If you loved me, you would. Now, it's one of those deals where, honey, I love you, but this one's off the table. This one's off the table. I can't be the man I'm supposed to be. I can't be motivated. I can't do anything unless I've got this. I've got to be motivated by the Lord. Well, you know the story. I can read a little bit of it here. In the 18th verse of 16th chapter of Judges, and when Delilah saw he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Now all the other times he stood up, and the Spirit of the Lord motivated him, and he broke loose, and the enemy had no control over him. Not this time. And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not know. It had always been there. He had always relied on it. It was always available. But he couldn't have the same motivation now. I'm saying he wanted to do it, but there was no power behind it at all. He couldn't do it. He couldn't accomplish it. You think that you can decide that you're going to do something and you can fulfill that? Really? You think that I can just decide that I'm going to be something and that's who I'm going to be? I'm going to tell you, without the Lord, you can do nothing. You can't maintain it if the Lord says no. What do we think that the great martyrs, you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? You ever read that and did you ever assume that these superhuman people decided that they was going to be burned at the stake without squalling? Huh? You assumed that somebody was going to love all the people that was tormenting them and never waver. Folks, without him, you can do nothing. We need to be motivated in our individual lives. Motivated by the Lord. I can't expect any congregation of people to be motivated any more than the individuals are motivated. We need to be motivated to the service of the Lord. If we look and say, there just isn't the people giving themselves to the word of the Lord anymore. Folks, that's just the symptom. That's just the symptom. There's a deeper cause. There's something deeper than that. I'll say it all the way down to either mowing the yard or cleaning the chapel. It doesn't matter. It goes down to all things. You need, nobody's stepping up. Nobody's got the heart. Nobody's doing nothing. We can get together and make rules and divvy it out or however you want to do it. But you're not motivating in the right way. You're not doing it the right way. The right way it is the same way when it's like trying to fake a fellowship. Well, Sister Clay, you and I know we ought to get along as Christians, right? So we'll no! If I follow the Lord in the light, if she follows in the light, what will we do? We'll have fellowship one with the other. It goes deeper than that. If there's not fellowship one with the other, then what must you say? There's something deeper there. You can try to make it happen by rules and regulations, or any way you want to do it, but you can't motivate somebody in their heart that way. It needs to come from the motivation of the Lord. When it comes from that, folks, what is it took care of? What is it took care of? Everything in our lives can be took care of then. Lord, what would you have me to do? How do you want me to serve you in all of this? I can't do anything without you. Lord, teach me how to do it. Amen. There was a man in the Bible named Saul, King Saul. King Saul was told to go down and kill all the Amalekites. Wipe them out, he said. Okay? He
didn't say, I'm not going to do it. You don't believe in the mission? Not doing it. No. I think it would have been an enormous task in that day to get the food, water, captains of thousands or whatever, and get them in an order to go in a military type way to go and to do that. It must have took an enormous price campaign to do it. But he did it. He did it. And he went down there and he destroyed, didn't he? He destroyed almost everything. Almost. He almost did it. But he didn't do anything. Howbeit in vain. They worshiped me. Did Saul worship God in vain? After doing everything that he done, except for be obedient? He done everything. He done 99% probably of what it took to do that, except for doing what the Lord told him to do. And I'd have to ask the question, wasn't there a deeper problem than just that with Saul? Wasn't there a deep heart issue with him that caused him to do that? We just can look at it and say there's a simple solution, but there's not. Because it goes deeper than that. What is motivating me in my life? Scripture over in Matthew 3 and 10 says that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. There at home when I was growing up, we mowed our yard up around and we had a lot of locust trees that grew around there. And if you cut down a locust tree, you generally got 100 of them after that. They come up from the roots everywhere and they sprout up. And I remember cutting those locust trees out and they grow really, really fast. So in one season, you got all of these trees up there and keeps growing and you got more problem than you did. Well, this scripture is saying that there's a time now that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. It's time to cut that thing down where it matters. Because you're not just swatting around at the limbs and the leaves, and you can do that, and it just bushes and grows more and more, and the problem gets worse and worse. You never really, really solve the problem. But the Lord says the axe is at the root of the tree now. Now is the time to deal with the real issues about these things. Lord, help me to be motivated by the Spirit of the Lord. Help me to be motivated into the things that you want me to do and what you want me to do. And I told this story too, but it was a fascinating story to me. And I believe it. But it was back 100 years ago or so, the story took place. But supposedly there was a woman in Chicago that got under a burden to, she wanted to try to reach out the gospel, and her husband was a pastor, and so the lady got some other ladies together, and they decided that they were going to go out into the streets and they were going to tell people about the Lord. Well, they did. And they worked endlessly and never accomplished anything. And was pretty discouraged by the whole thing. And so the lady came back and said, well, there was an element they kind of left out of it. And so the woman came back and started fasting and praying. And so she started praying, and she was down in prayer, and she said the vision came to her mind in a certain street sign and a vision of a certain apartment thing, and it come into her mind, and she said she didn't even know, I think it was Lincoln Street or something, and anyway, didn't even know if there was such a street like that in Chicago. So she goes to her husband and says, is there a Lincoln Street? And said, I don't know. And they get out a map and they find Lincoln Street and said, well, would you drive me? I want to see this. And they went driving and went to Lincoln Street, and they got there to Lincoln Street, and she's going by, and all of a sudden she looks and says, wait, that's what I saw. That's the vision. You don't have to believe this. And I can't verify it. I'm just saying it was a testimony. And said, there it is. And she went up these stairs and went up to there and was knocking on the door. And all of a sudden she hears somebody kind of groaning and hollering and kind of crying in there. And she ends up, there was an old Christian lady had fell about 3 days before and couldn't get up and was begging God to send somebody her way. And that's the way the Lord chose to do it. Now what can you do? How can you find somebody? What can you do? Oh, the motivation, being motivated, being inspired by the things of being inspired by it. Lord, help us to be inspired. I believe the Lord preached under the inspiration is so powerful. But I can't make it happen. We're dependent upon the Lord to do this. Lord, help us. This is our begging. Lord, help it to be inspired and motivating to move people. We can't just assume it that words are... No, Lord, motivate the heart. Stir the heart. Bill Carl, if you want to hear more amens, people need to be stirred in their hearts that God's worthy to amen. Or that God's worthy to be praised. What did God do for me? You're sick and ailing, and God gives you a touch and it feels like better, and you're so thankful. Somebody says, what's the Lord do? Praise God. Yeah, I praise God. Praise the Lord. I can do that at any time I choose to do it. Don't mean it's worth anything. But it needs to be bent.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for keeping us. I know that we know this. God loves you. God's good to you. We all know that's good. But we can go our whole week without thinking about it. We can go through our whole life without thinking about it. We can dismiss the things. And what my burden is folks, you can't assume that you can just flounder through this thing and you're going to have a testimony. You can't assume that you're just going to flounder and your prayers are going to be... You can't assume that this is going to make... No, you can't just assume that. We need to have God's motivation and inspiration on our heart. And I think about the time that David went up to face the giant. He didn't know he was going to face the giant, but he was in the realms of being motivated. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was in the realms of trusting God. God was in his life. God had helped him. You travel very much. We traveled a lot. I want to tell you, God's helped us. A lot of times I've said, thank you, Jesus. I don't even know how that happened. I think there's been miracles. I'll just tell you my testimony. But we was going along one time just getting, and a guy came through with a dually and had a big low boy of some kind, or a big trailer, like for big heavy equipment. And he come through there, and the traffic was racing, and he come up, and he brought that thing over way before he could bring it over with me over here. He brought it up on the right side and tried to get back in to pass something else. And only thing I just had time to do was, Lord help me, here comes that trailer. It looked like it went through our fender. I mean, obviously it didn't miss. It missed us. But there's a testimony for you in that. Thank you, Jesus. When you're in a place to where you're living for that, as David was, living in the realms of the Lord, and you can face a bear and not even say God's around, but he didn't, because God gave him the victory over that bear and that lion, and he knew God had done it, and now this is a monument in his life that motivated him. It motivated him in his life, and he had something that all his brothers didn't have. None of them had it because none of them were motivated. Were they? Surely, in the whole army of Israel, there's more than one ruddy boy that'll stand up and be a man. No, it wasn't. Why? Why? You can't legislate it. What did they lack? They hadn't been with the Lord. The Lord was as faithful to them as he was David. They could have had a testimony in their life too, that God has proven himself to me, and I'm not going to let the cause of God fail here. I'm going to stand up for it because God's motivating me in this realm. No, nobody stood up. One little ruddy boy comes up there that had been with the Lord that made all the difference. And what a difference it made. Consider it. He went up there Had he been 2 inches taller than Goliath, it wouldn't have meant as much. But he wasn't. If he had had the experience of 100 years behind him, it would have mattered. But he didn't. He was a ruddy boy that had never been in battle, and he wasn't strong, and he wasn't big. But he was armed with something more than they all had. He was motivated with the Spirit of the Lord. He had something more than all of them. We know the story because he went down there and he took on the giant. And he motivated the nation. Didn't he? These guys that backed up every time Goliath come out and stood up there and shuddered. When the giant fell, I believe that passage says that they chased the Philistines to the setting of the sun. Chased them. They got some nerve now because something motivated them. Because God had worked in David's life. You need God to work in your life. I say you. Listen, I'm desperate. I need the Lord. If I'm going to make it, I need the Lord to help me. Because I'll have things about me that I think's right that ain't right. And I don't see it. Now, Lord, don't show me. I'm not going to see it. And once he shows me, I ain't going to change it. If he don't help me to change it, when I see it, and I say, Lord, I don't want to be that way. Well, then the lightning strikes and the thunder, and I'm different. I may... No, not generally. Not generally. I say, Lord, I really want victory over this temper, over this thoughts, over this stuff. And the Lord says, hang on. I got just what you need. I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to motivate you. And you're going to be moving. And you're going to be able to stand up at the end of this and say, the ways of the Lord is right. And glory be to God. Praise God that I'm not that person that I used to be. And that I have changed. So I want to ask you. Be encouraged. So David went on from that moment and wasn't always faithful, right? David had failures, right? He ended up having one of the major failures of the scriptures. He was a real rascal, David was. But I got a question for you. I want you to think about it. When Nathan came to David and said, I want to tell you a story. And here it goes like this. There's a man. A wealthy man. He had a friend come by. And of all of his flocks, he spared and he took this poor man's little ewe lamb, only the only one he had, and took the little ewe lamb and he killed it. And he dressed it and he fed it to his friend. Now this little ewe lamb was like a daughter to them. That meant that they kept it like a lap. I mean, he petted it. And David said, this is the king's judgment. This is David's heart, right? He said, he was angry and said, he shall surely die. Okay? And he's going to take from him and pay. Okay? This is hard penalty. And Nathan says to Daniel, thou art the man. I am so thankful to the God. I appreciate God so much. Amen. Was David a better king before that or after? After. Now you look and say, of course it's better not to be in a place of failure. If David had never had that failure, and God surely didn't make him have that failure, but David would have been a king there with those kind of judgments, never knowing mercy, never understanding the depths of mercy. But I want to say after that, I'm assuring you that if it ever comes down to that story again, David would say, have mercy on him. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on him. How many times do we get in these places that I need God to alter my judgments? Alter the way I think about the people around me. Folks, listen. You know how I look about failures? Come on, we're all in this together. Come on, let's go. We can get over our failures. We can pray for one another. Yes, they can be deep. Yes, they can be bad. But God loves all of us. Let's all get together and pray and let's get over these things. Get it right. How many times do you have to fail? I'll be with you no matter how many times you fail. because God's wanting you to get it right. Come on, let's go. I don't look at it as your worst light on. Or you can't make me not feel good about you, is what I'm saying. God loves you, and so do I. And I look and realize that without Him, we can do nothing. The great mistake, as I said, Taylor, the great failure that we all make isn't the exact thing. We all know that. The great mistake is not living close to the Lord enough to have the power, or not being motivated enough to have the power. None of us can do it without Him. And when we don't do it, it's because we lack in that. Always. He said, I am the vine. You're the branches. This is what He was saying. If you connect to me, then you'll bear fruit. But without me, as the vine can't produce without, or the branches can't produce without the vine, it's a great illustration. As soon as I'm not hooked, or as soon as I become indifferent about the things of God, where's my testimony? Do you all really want to hear my opinion? Now come on, is that what you want? You want me to make up something Wednesday night? Is that what we want one another to do? Or are we trying to build a vanity? Or try to make a hypocrite and say to our congregation, well here, you testify anyway. We're going to do it, or you're going to be penalized for it. Or to say to our children, you have to testify or else. Or, well, I want them to want to. I want them to want to. The children used to say, do we have to go to service tonight? And we'd say, we get to go. I like going to service, so it's not a problem. I like going. I'm glad it's there. But I don't want to build no hypocrites. We just have it in our hearts. And preachers do. Well, we preach about you ought to go. You should go to service. You should support it. But that really means you should have a desire and a want. You should want to do it because the Lord does it, and you say, who loves me the most? Lord, I want to love you the most. I want to show that. I want to prove that. I want to have it in my heart. Because if I don't have it in my heart, I'm afraid there's going to be this statement that's going to come true in my life, howbeit. In vain did they worship me. I had a close experience that one time where I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, if you go to service all the time, why don't you try to get something out of it? I think sometimes the Lord speaks to us the way we think. Yeah. And that's kind of the way I would say it. And that's the way it was said back to me. If you go to service all the time, why don't you try to get something out of it? And it stunned me because I knew exactly what He was talking about. You're not putting into it all the way. Put into it. Want it. Desire it. Don't just deal with the symptoms of things, but deal with the reality of it. Lord, I need you. You can gauge your own life tonight, and you can say, why am I here? What's my expectations here? Am I in vain worshiping the Lord? Do I have a good report with the people around here, but don't really care that much about it? I can't answer it for anybody, but I think it shows up. I think it shows up in the collective efforts of what we do. I think it will show up. I think if we spoke from what we would desire, I think we would want. I know I have a vision of it sometimes, of it just being on fire. Just everybody in. You know what I'm saying? It just, you've been in those services. If the Lord don't inspire that, folks, we can't drum it up, and there's no reason to. There is white people in the, I'm totally against it. We're emotional people. And you can stir up emotions. I actually know how to do it somewhat, but I wouldn't dare do it to you. I know how to tell a sad enough story. I know how to take you up high with jokes and laughter and get you up as high as I can get you, then bring the saddest thing out to you and drop a rug out from under you. I can have you in tears. It's vain. It's vain. It means nothing. do anything. It's vanity. We can stir it and we can get a band and we can get out there. Everybody can say, come on, guys. Walk across the campground all down. And come on, get up. And then as soon as the sun will go, we're all down again. That's not what the Lord wants. Not what the Lord wants at all. We bring it. Lord, this is what I got. This is what I bring. I bring my praises. I think that we can be motivated with each other in a service, and it's fine, and the Lord can work and send the motivation, and it's really good, and I always enjoyed it, and so does everybody else. But I want nothing phony, and I don't want it made up, and I don't want it drummed up, and I don't want it beat up, and I don't want people standing up and hollering and running up and down the aisles that don't even know what the Lord is or don't know what He has done and didn't have an experience. So Lord, help us. There was a man in the Bible, and you can look it up in the 3rd chapter of John. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a desire. He had a motivation. He was desire. He wanted to know something about the Lord. But he didn't know much about the Lord, did he? And what did the Lord tell him? You must be born again. You need some motivation. Nicodemus, you're never going to get it. Nicodemus, there's something beyond. You're going to have to be born again, Nicodemus. And he said, what is that? I don't understand that. You will. It'll come to you. But unless you get this first, in vain will they worship me. You pray for me. I want to be faithful, and I don't want to be found in a place that is said. Howbeit, in vain they did worship me. Pray for me.